We've been in the Easter season now for 2 weeks, so got five more weeks to go. These 7 weeks when the church encourages us to reflect on this great mystery of our faith, this essential pillar of our faith, the truth of the resurrection. And so what I want to do this evening is actually, I want to direct your focus to this side of the church. I want to explain some of the artwork that's over here that helps proclaim the truth of the resurrection. So you might have to like turn and face this direction. Why did we do all this? Well, the idea is that this entire section over here is meant to proclaim the truth of the resurrection. How so? A couple ways. First and foremost, with this brand new icon depicting the resurrection. What's happening in this icon? You know, in the Apostles' Creed, there's that line we say that Jesus died on the cross and then he descended to hell. What does that mean? He descended to hell. Before the coming of Jesus, the highest level of hell was called the abode of the dead, or in Hebrew it's called Sheol in the Old Testament. The abode of the dead was the place where all the righteous souls from the Old Testament went to wait for the coming of the Messiah. So when Jesus died on the cross, and what is death? Death is the separation of body and soul. His body went into the tomb, and his soul, that's where his soul went, into the abode of the dead, this highest level of hell. Jesus did not go to the hell of the damned, because the hell of the damned is the place where God is not present. So it wouldn't make sense for Jesus to be present there. He went to this kind of like this highest level, again, the place where all the righteous of the Old Testament were waiting for him. And so that's depicted in this icon. So obviously in the center is Jesus, and he's not static, he's dynamic, he's moving, he's rising from the dead, rising from the abode of the dead. Underneath his feet are the broken doors of the gates of hell. He's broken open the doors now to set free all those righteous souls who are waiting for him in the abode of the dead. To the left and the right are these people, men and women, who are meant to symbolize the righteous people from the Old Testament who are waiting for the Messiah. Some of them, we think we know who they are, but some of them are just meant to generally represent people. So on the left side, to Jesus's right, on top of this sarcophagus, is Adam and Eve, the first human beings who have been waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah to come and to save them. On the left side is standing or a bunch of men. We're not really sure exactly who each person is. We think there's two guys that have crowns. We think the older guy with the crown is probably King David. The younger guy with the crown is his son, King Solomon, the two greatest kings in the history of Israel. Moses is probably one of those guys up there, Abraham, John the Baptist. And on the right side you have all these holy women from the Old Testament. Probably Bathsheba's one of them with the crown, or some of the other great female heroes of the Old Testament. And again, Jesus has his hands down. He's like, he's pulling them up to rise in them. Now that he has died on the cross and now rising from the dead, the gates of heaven have been opened, and he's lifting them up into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has his halo, because he's Jesus, but his halo is always different. It's similar to the halo of Jesus on the dome. He's got the cross on his halo, because we remember the cross, that Jesus is the one who died on the cross. And in the halo are these three Greek letters, again, similar to the dome. And those three Greek letters just spell a word or a phrase that literally means in English, he who is, or I am who am. It's the name that God revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush. This mysterious name of God, again, is around Jesus' head. And then to Jesus' above his right shoulder are these four Greek letters. I see, X see. Again, you also see that up in the dome. You'll see that a lot of times. I see is the first and last letter of Jesus' name in Greek. And XC is the first and last letter of the name Christ in Greek. So it's like if you did my name like that, it would be like, my name is Brian Parks. It would be B-N-P-K, first and last letter of those two names. So that's what those two Greek letters mean. And then lastly, you see these, like, if you get really close, you see these like mountains up here, because Isaiah prophesied that on this mountain, that heaven is like this mountaintop where God will provide for all peoples. And then you have on the sides these vines with these grapes, these fruits. And he talks about how on this mountain, God will provide these rich, juicy wines that we'll drink for all eternity in the kingdom of heaven. So it's meant to be a symbol of heaven. Last thing on this icon, again, you got to be close to see it, but at the base of the icon, underneath the broken doors of hell, are locks and nails and chains. They're all meant to symbolize how the people in the abode of the dead were chained and held bound there until the coming of the Messiah, who broke the chains and broke the gates of hell to set the captives free. So yeah, the whole icon, of course, proclaims the resurrection. But then we have here, you know, these walls here, this beautiful gold, this majestic gold to make us think of the majesty of heaven. And then we have our saint statues to remind us of the New Testament saints. You have the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints who are in heaven praying for us right now. And then when you step back here, you have these two icons on these two panels that were done in the painting project last year. And these two angels are meant to represent the two angels who greeted the women in Luke's gospel on Easter Sunday morning. The women come to anoint the dead body of Jesus, and they see in the tomb these two angels. And if you're close, you can see each angel has a scroll. And on the scroll is a scripture passage. It's something that the angels said to the women when they showed up to the tomb. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised. So again, this whole part of the church proclaims the resurrection. And if you've been to a funeral here, which I know many of you have, we always do our visitations before the funeral over here. We put the casket right here. And so the deceased person is literally looking up at the resurrection. As the family gathers around to grieve and to pray for their loved one, they're reminded of the truth that there is no hope without the resurrection. But because of the resurrection, we have hope, the hope of eternal life. And so again, this whole area is meant to proclaim the hope of the resurrection. That scripture passage up there on the wall, right? I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Even if he dies, will live. The only reason I could possibly live forever is because of the resurrection. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, your faith is in vain. You are still in your sins. The entire Christian faith rises, pun intended, the entire Christian faith rises and falls on the truth of the resurrection. If the resurrection did not happen, we are wasting our time. I have dedicated my life then to perpetuating the greatest lie in human history. But if the resurrection did happen, which it did, then there's no greater truth to proclaim to the whole world that if you unite yourself to Jesus, if you believe in him and follow him and remain faithful to the end, when you die, which you will, one day you too can rise to eternal life. You and I can defeat death only if we unite ourselves to the only person who defeated death, and that's Jesus Christ. Every time I pray the glorious mysteries, that first glorious mystery, the resurrection, I always offer that decade. I ask for the grace for greater faith. That I would always believe in the truth of the resurrection, that my faith in the resurrection would be so strong because it is so central to our faith. May we always be people of great faith, especially in the truth of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, I now have the hope of eternal life. I have the hope of living forever in the kingdom of heaven.